Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 16th of July. Last Thursday, Republicans stripped out the food stamp program from the agriculture bill. It's the first time food stamps have not been a part of the farm bill since 1973. The farm bill has almost always passed overwhelmingly, has not been a source of controversy. So why is it now? The spending provides the average recipient with $133 per month to buy food, although that varies from state to state. It's $116 in the state of Wisconsin. And this hour of our program, we're going to be looking at why such polarization on a previously routine vote. What are the economic and political factors at play here? And perhaps most importantly, what will happen to all of the people? And there are many of them. The number of program participants has gone up significantly as the nation plunged into recession in 2008, and participation has continued to rise as the economy slowly recovers. So what happens to all of those people who depend on food stamps in order to eat during the course of a month? Our guest this hour is Timothy Smeed, Arts and Sciences Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Director of the Institute for Research on Poverty. He has written a number of books, From Parents to Children, The Handbook of Economic Inequality, Poor Kids in a Rich Country, America's Children in Comparative Perspective, and The Future of the Family, and many other books. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Professor Smeedling. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Professor Timothy Smeedling, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
The farm bill almost always passed overwhelmingly. What happened this year and why?
Good question. The Senate passed it, but the House decided to split agricultural subsidies, which mainly benefit big farmers and rich farmers, from the 80% of the bill, which was for food stamps or what's called food share in Wisconsin, called SNAP. Now, officially the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program in Washington. And by cutting out SNAP, we've left poor people hanging. At some point, there has to be a reconciliation between the House and the Senate bill. And if the House won't go along with the proposal on food stamps from the Senate and add it to their bill, then food stamps will be left the appropriations process,
mm-hmm.
where I believe it will be slashed unfairly and injudiciously. It's this program is very, very target efficient and target effective. I want to read you something from last week's PBS NewsHour.
Okay.
I'm going to quote David Brooks, New York Times columnist. When asked by Judy Woodruff, are there Republicans who are defending food stamps? This is David Brooks, conservative, right, middle columnist. There are some, but not many, Republicans who are defending food stamps. And I was going to do a column because the Republican critics are correct that the number of people on food stamps has exploded. And so I was going to do a column saying this is wasteful, it's probably going up the income streams of people who don't need it. This is going to be a great column. We get my readers really mad at me. I would love it. It would be fun. But then I did some research and found out who was actually getting the food stamps. And the people who deserve to get it are getting it. That was the basic conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's expanded, but that's because the structure of poverty has expanded in this country. Right now, it's a reasonably good program, and we should keep it the way it is.
Let me quote Paul Krugman, who really blasted the Republicans. Let me tell you, ask you if this is going too far. He writes, something terrible has happened to the soul of the Republican Party, a state of mind that takes positive glee in inflicting further suffering on the already miserable. Is that going too far?
I'm not sure they're gleeful, but they sure are spiteful, the House Republicans. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
The amount of food stamps per week per person in this country is $29.15. Okay? I have been on in five or six different news media, in the Washington Post, in the Philadelphia Inquirer, on PBS, responding to people from Mayor Cory Booker in Newark, the head of the Montgomery County, its executive of Montgomery County, and various columnists, one from the Capital Times, one from the Milwaukee Journal, and all of them tried to live for a week on $29 worth of food stamps.
Oh, really?
And all of them said, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this program is $134 a month. Okay? Now, Paul Ryan says that's a hammock. See, $134 a person a month. You sit back, put your feet up. You know, we're going to eat like kings. Oh, who's going to pay the utilities? What about the rent? How are we going to get to work? Now, forget about it. We'll just live on $134 worth of food stamps, which can be used, by the way, only for food, not for alcoholic beverages, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Not for paper products, not for soap, only for approved food. Very closely monitored at supermarkets because of barcoding. You know exactly what is and isn't in. And to take this program away is to really hurt an awful lot of low-income people who really need it. Right? I'll give you one more example. We just finished our Wisconsin Poverty Report for covering the 2011-12 year.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find in Wisconsin is that food share has expanded very rapidly. And it hasn't expanded as much in Milwaukee as in the rest of the state, because Milwaukee already was a high food share using area. It's expanded in the rural counties. It's expanded all over the rest of the state where there were former people who become working poor, used to be middle class, now working poor. The program is the biggest anti-poverty program we have in Wisconsin, bigger than refundable tax credits, particularly for children. All of that money is spent either on local farmers. In some areas, farmers markets give 2-for-1 for vegetables, or in local supermarkets. It's a program that is just absolutely necessary. It feeds people. We can afford to feed people in this country. The problem the Republicans are looking at is that there are so many people who are hungry. There are so many people who qualify. Income's less than 133% of the poverty line for family of four, which means a family of four earning less than $28,000 a year is eligible for SNAP. And a family of that size who's in the 20s doesn't get much SNAP. You don't really get the average benefit or higher until your annual income is about $15,000. So this program is doing a great job, in my opinion, and many other people's, including David Brooks, in fighting poverty. The people who deserve to get it are getting it. Wisconsin has won 2 USDA awards for improving the administration of the program. We do a much better job identifying who needs it and getting the cards to them early, and we do a much better job than the average in finding people who got overpayments and recouping them. That would be a case in which someone's income suddenly went up because they found a job, although the benefit level was, you know, at the level of income they had before the job.
Mm-hmm.
So for all these reasons, and that we work with food pantries too, you go to any grocer in a low-income area and they will tell you, the first 2 weeks of the month when people have their debit cards refilled, you can't keep food in the shelves. The last 2 weeks, they've spent that much money.
Mm-hmm.
They've their families, and they don't have it anymore. And instead, you see the increased demand at the food pantries and soup kitchens. They'll tell you the same thing. So this is not an overly generous program. It is not a program where we're subsidizing the middle class for anything. It is a program that feeds people in America. In this country, with its riches and hopefully with its benevolence, we can afford to feed people.
Professor Smeedling, there are Republicans who are saying that what they wanted to do was separate the farm interests from the nutrition interests. They really shouldn't be part of the same bill. Why have they been part of the same bill, and does it make any sense to separate those needs?
Well, it was a nice partnership in the past. This is my opinion as an economist. We subsidized farmers to keep growing. A lot of Wisconsin farmers, too, by the way. And if they had a bad year like they had last year, they got subsidized for their losses. It was supposed to balance farm income. It mainly benefits high-end rich farmers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you had all the agricultural and the farm states were all in favor of it. All those senators and all the Dakotas and Wisconsin and anywhere you're growing corn, wheat, and soybeans and sugar or cotton were for it. Now, that program got their backing. On the other hand, you combine that with the food stamp part, which was mainly championed by urban legislators, minority legislators, legislators in high-poverty districts where they knew that the food stamps helped feed people. So it was a trade-off.
I see.
You spend some money on the high-income owners, and in return, the low-income people got benefits. And that's how it was until just now.
Mm-hmm. And
So what the House Republicans have done is they left in the high-end subsidies. They left in the subsidies to farmers, and they've cut out the benefits to the poor. So they've separated that coalition somehow. That coalition is still solid in the Senate. And so it's up in the air what's going to happen to the program.
Republicans have said that they're going to hold votes on separate measure dealing with food stamp funding, and they will do that later this month. What are your concerns about that? Will they do that indeed, and are you worried that the amount of money for food stamps will be drastically cut?
I am. They proposed about a 20% cut in food stamps. They proposed somehow enforcing work requirements for everyone who's getting food stamps. And the cost of enforcing those requirements would far exceed the extra amount of work that got done and the amount they saved in benefits. They just want to peel back and punish poor people in this program. At the same time, they have already passed the part of the bill that they like, which is the part that subsidizes rich farmers. But the classic example that's been in all the papers is Congressman Finch of Tennessee, who has lambasted those poor people for getting food stamps and they don't deserve it, while at the same time ignoring the fact that he, as a cotton farmer, had received over the last 10 years $3.8 million in subsidies from the Farm Bill. And oh yeah, by the way, this year the House Farm Bill extends the subsidies on cotton for 2 years longer than any other crop.
Why is that?
Because he's on the committee and he passed it and he backed it. And he's benefiting from it,
We had a Facebook comment from someone named Quint saying Representative Stephen Fincher of Tennessee cited the New Testament, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat.
Yeah, that's the same one. Fincher, he's the one. And he's the one who's collected multiple millions of dollars from the exact bill and the type of bill which the House has passed.
Considering what's happened to the economy, considering the number of people who have lost their jobs, the way the whole economy has changed in Wisconsin and throughout the country, so that you have people who have lost family paying, supporting jobs and are working at places that may not give very many benefits, we hear story, as you know, after story after story, and this is what you do, to highlight how difficult making a living is for people right now. And the number of people you wouldn't expect to be taking food stamps or going to food pantries are working poor, and there are a lot of working poor in this country, aren't there?
Absolutely. If you look at the Congressional Budget Office estimates of the future spending in this program, it's up around $80 billion now, and it's starting to come down a little bit as the economy recovers. But we're going to, for the next 5 or 6 years, this program, if left intact, would still be costing $60, $70, $75 billion. Because of exactly what you said. Because people are working at $9 an hour or $10 an hour, and at those wages, they can't support their families. At those wages, they should get help with eating so they can spend the money that they have earned on rent and utilities and other things they need, work-related costs, for instance. And so the big problem is, yes, the economy has changed, and the structure of poverty has changed, exactly as David Brooks said. And it's changed to a lot of low-wage working poor. And the only way that those families make ends meet are with the SNAP program or the food share program and refundable tax credits. The combination of the two have really done a great job, especially in Wisconsin, in fighting poverty. Now, our new Wisconsin poverty report showed that we cut those refundable tax credits last year, and so poverty ticked up a little bit in Wisconsin. Okay? Those two, still with the tax credits and the SNAP program or the food share program, we are doing a very good job in helping the poorest get by, including, especially as you mentioned, the working poor. That's who this program is for. Now, can you go out? Will they go out and say, okay, you're in an area where we think there are jobs, so we're going to force you to get a job if you want to keep getting SNAP? And you say, well, there's no job. I've applied all over. I can't find a job. There's no job even at $9 and $10 an hour I can find. So you're going to force those, reduce those people's food stamps? This is like another proposal that recently came out, that anybody who's a convicted felon who's released from prison shouldn't get food stamps. And I said to a Washington reporter on this who asked me, I said, that means that they have to steal if they want to eat because you're not going to help them eat? And it turns out he found some evidence that was exactly what was happening. That if you take people who otherwise, who can't get a job or otherwise just been released from prison, don't have any ties to the community or families and say, oh, by the way, we're not going to allow them to feed themselves either through this program, you're going to end up with more crime, not less crime. So it's for all so many reasons, this is incredibly mean-spirited and aimed at just the wrong people, and I'm obviously very disturbed by this.
We invite the audience to call in. Perhaps you are as disturbed as our guest is, or perhaps you think there is abuse, substantial abuse in the program. Perhaps you believe that the farm bill should be separated, farm subsidies one part, food stamps another. What do you make of all of this? This is a program that has been around for a long, long time in this country. And what's particularly interesting is that this bill is almost always passed overwhelmingly. It has not been a very controversial bill. Food stamps are suddenly rather controversial. Rightfully so. Here's our phone number. We would like to hear from you this hour. Our guest is Professor Timothy Smeedling, Arts and Sciences Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Director of the Institute for Research on Poverty. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Professor Smeedling says this is a historic change, separating farm interests from nutrition interests and creating a huge political football with SNAP right in the middle. Low-income people who need to eat will be caught in the middle and will get hurt in the appropriations process if Congress can't agree on legislation governing the program. Even if food stamps funding is pursued separately from the farm bill, it's unlikely Congress will be able to find an easy compromise. Why is this so difficult now? To your phone calls, many of them are coming in. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, if you'd like to leave a message there, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Professor Timothy Smeedling is our guest, Arts and Sciences Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we are talking about what happened last week in the House, where there was a separation between farm subsidies and the food safety program, and what happens from here and why it happened in the first place when it's been around for a long, long time and has been rather uncontroversial. So that's what we're talking about when we're taking your phone calls. Hour two of our program Confronting Suburban Poverty in America. What's fascinating about this book that has just been released is the rate of poverty is increasing in suburban areas in this country. We tend to think of it as being an urban problem or a rural problem. It's not just that. To your phone calls now. Let's go to Kim in Milwaukee. Hello, Kim.
Uh-oh. I just lost. Hello?
Yes, Kim. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you for a second. Hi. I was just calling because I really appreciate that you have this person on. I work with very low-income families in Milwaukee, and I cannot believe that they're trying. I mean, people work so hard. The women who I work with are all working mothers. They work so hard to try to get W-2 just so that they can pay their rent and provide basic needs for their babies. And, I mean, are we still a first world country if our people are starving? I don't understand.
Professor Smeeting.
I agree. It's just, you know, food is the most basic thing. And the idea that we wouldn't help people eat in a richer country as we've got is, to me, just ridiculous. And that's all you can do with it. You can only eat food with it. That's what you can do. You can buy regular food. There are some people who would want to restrict what food people can and can't get with it. Or other things, but right now it's just food. If you go to the supermarket, you buy food, you don't buy alcoholic beverages, you don't buy paper products, you don't even buy vitamins, and you check out and you zap your card and it charges and you walk out with it. And when the card's gone, the food's gone. So it's just the most, it doesn't get in the way of people's dignity. People can, you know, use that card without being embarrassed at the supermarket checkout line. Of course, they have to pay cash for paper or vitamins or anything like that. And it just seems to me that the reason the program is so high, again, is because it's just a sign of how bad economic times are for most people, and not because they're greedy or are trying to make a living just off of a food card. That makes no sense.
When you are listening carefully to those in Congress who are concerned about food stamp, are you hearing a lot of people talk about perceived food stamp abuse, Professor Smeeting, or
some people talk some about abuse. I think the Legislative Audit Bureau in Wisconsin did a wonderful report on SNAP. 1.1 million people in Wisconsin received SNAP in 2010.
How many? 1.1 million?
Yes.
Wow.
About a million people. Okay. They won all these awards and things. It turns out that on about page 3, they report that 580 people who got food stamps or food share in Wisconsin were in jail. Well, if you got food share and then got arrested, you went to jail, you had the card with you, you're still getting it. But think about that. 581 of 1,100,000. That's less than a tenth of a percent.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with people who there have been reports that some people have sold their food cards. In other words, they've taken $100 worth of SNAP on a card and sold it to somebody for $70 or $80. Most of those people are people who realize that if they don't pay the rent, they are going to be thrown out of their house, or their landlord is going to come in and take the door off its hinges, the main door to their apartment, so anybody can get in. And so they decide not to eat, but instead to use that card to trade it for less cash so they can pay rent. But again, that's in a very, 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 very tiny minority of cases. I think the Wisconsin legislature thoroughly decreed it and said we won't stand for this, which is fine. How you're going to enforce it and how you're going to stop it, I don't know. But by and large, this program is a good program. Any program that serves, you know, 1.1 million in Wisconsin or, you know, 60 or 70 million people nationwide, there's going to be a few people who abuse it. That's true of everything in life. But by and large, the vast majority of people need it, they use it to eat, and that's what it's all about.
Thanks, Kim, for the call. Andy in Germantown, hi.
Hi, I'm calling. I just wanted to kind of touch base with what you're talking about a little bit.
Sure.
And kind of relate it with what I've kind of experienced growing up. My mom raised me and my two sisters in, we didn't grow up in the city. We grew up in a small town in Minnesota with like population 10,000. We lived hard though. And my mom was always on food stamps, and she has gone to, you know, grocery stores to sell her food stamps before to pay for rent. I mean, there was times when, you know, she was working as well, but we didn't get child support from dad. And, you know, all that sacrifice, all those gifts from people that put money into it enabled me and my two sisters to, we're all college graduates. My youngest sister has a family and she's doing awesome. They have a house. They have, you know, we're all paying a lot of taxes back and we're good members of society. And that's, I just wanted to, you know, reaffirm that, you know, this is an awesome program. And, you know, about the prisoners coming out and not being able to get a chance, I have two uncles that are repeat offenders for that reason. We couldn't take them in either time because we didn't even have a roof over our head sometimes. And it was really the Salvation Army, the WIC program, all those things really made it possible to even survive. And that's just what I wanted to say and thank everybody for this.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for the call. Professor Smeedy.
Well, what can I say?
I know.
Andy is exactly the sort of person who the program tried to help in the past, exactly the kind of person who now, having been there, appreciates it, and who also knows people who you know, have had to steal for food because they were denied food stamps. I just can't understand it. I don't think Andy can. I don't think Kim can either. Maybe somebody else can call in who has a different opinion. I'm always willing to entertain those
yes,
opinions.
Yes, I'm hopeful that they will, because we would like to hear from those people.
Otherwise, it seems to me, from the people who are calling in, the facts that I'm reciting, and opinions from lots of other people, that low-income people deserve to eat, and they're going to be punished because they're poor. And by the House Republicans if they get their way. And I can just hope that they don't get their way.
Our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. John Boehner was asked if he would allow a compromise bill to come to a final vote in the House. His response, if ands and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas. My goal right now is to get the farm bill passed. We'll get to those other issues later. Can you tell me what the complications are here for getting some kind of compromise between the House and the Senate, some kind of committee together to take on this issue?
I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen now. The Republicans have got themselves in the corner on immigration in the House and on this issue. When the conference committee sits down, the Senate and the House, to make a decision, I am not sure what exactly they will do. But I can only hope that somehow we keep this program intact because it's so essential and that it helps so many people. I'm not sure how it will work or won't work. It might be subject to appropriations and cuts there if nothing is passed. But, you know, this isn't the only bill that the House Republicans have their head in the sand in, immigration being another one. And so this is not constructive. It doesn't help the people who need help in this country. They're willing to pass a bill that subsidizes rich farmers, including Congressman Fincher, who voted for his own well-being because he's going to get a big amount of subsidies for his cotton crop, regardless of what the weather is like. I just don't know. It's just not a good situation right now. And hopefully people like me and others, David Brooks and others, who are making the point about why we need this program and how important it is, will be heard. But I have no idea what the House Republicans are going to do on this bill. I only I'm hoping not for the worst.
Do you know, Linda emailed a question who read an article that if no bill is passed by the House and Senate by September when this expires, the current law would stay in effect. Do we know if that's true?
Well, right now, that would be good. But we're going to hit some appropriations down the line when there's certain, since no budget has been passed and no bill has been passed, somebody has to decide how much money to spend on the program, and the appropriations committees will have to work that out. And it probably won't be as much as we're spending now. The Senate has recommended a small cut, maybe 1% or 2%, tighten the bill up a little bit. That's okay. You know, if that's what legislators think we need, fine. But 20% cuts and somehow trying to enforce work tests for everyone who's on SNAP or trying to decide on what is a healthy and unhealthy food, allowing food stamps or food share to be used only for what somebody deems as healthy. Those are other things that can happen. So it's just a big uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not want to wake up and find out that the Appropriations Committee has appropriated $40 billion for $50 billion for a program that should be costing $75 or $80, and therefore cutting benefits for everybody by, you know, by some fraction, or by doing something sort of hopeless like try to enforce laws that people don't sell food stamps for cash or to enforce work requirements somehow, all of which are really costly to do and which get, you know, very little revenue or very little fidelity to the bill.
Jim in Mequon. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. Unfortunately, I don't have a differing opinion, but I just thought I'd relate my own story. I was the only earner in the family. I had a job making about $50,000 a year, lost that job, and food stamps graciously offered me $16 a month. It took a long time to wade through all the paperwork. Of course, the amount of money you get for unemployment is my wife was ill and didn't work. So a couple hundred dollars a week in unemployment and $16 a month. These people that think there's this rampant abuse and people like high on the hog, I think there was some legislator somewhere talked about people are eating crab and scallops on, you know, I mean, it's just, it's disgusting that we can find money to send to Egypt and every other frickin' place and buying bombers and all this other nonsense. And when there's so many people that are suffering in this country, and it's absolutely disgusting is what it is.
How long ago were you on food stamps? It's higher than 16 a month, certainly now, Jim, but...
No, it wasn't that long ago. This was only like a year. I qualified for $16. My wife and I, like I say, $50,000 a year that I made. She was sick, wasn't able to work, and that's what they gave me.
Hmm.
So,
Professor Smeeding.
Yeah, that Jim, I can empathize with you, and you're not going to eat a lot of crab or scallops anywhere I've looked for $16 either.
Right.
It's just, you know, even someone like Jim shows you an example. There's someone who's not totally poor, but, you know, is in difficult straits. Wife can't work, meets the income guidelines, and he gets $16. That's no hammock to live on. It just allows him to stretch his food budget a little further, to ask for a little less at a food pantry, and to get by.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are lots of people out there getting $16, $20, $100 a month who really need this help. And Jim's an example of that.
Thank you, Jim. You were talking about how farmers may benefit from this in Wisconsin. Tessa in Bayfield sent an email. As a farmers market organizer, I'm particularly upset about the lack of appropriate funding for the SNAP program. We worked very hard to create a mechanism for SNAP participants to be able to buy high-quality fresh produce at our local farmers markets. Of course, this supports our local food economy. It's ludicrous to jeopardize this funding mechanism that supports our local farmers and growers.
Exactly. Exactly. And in fact, I know in the Dane County market, for a while anyway, people who had SNAP were getting $2 worth of fresh produce for each dollar's worth of on their SNAP card or on their food share card. So we were subsidizing the most healthy foods, and people could go and buy those foods at a discount price, and that helps all of the people who are growing food and are trying to produce fresh food, all the small farmers, all the places that we allowed all over this town and city and everywhere in our restaurants because they produce such high-quality food. And that's what the old linkage between the farmers and the farm states and the farm supporters and the urban poor supporters, that was the old coalition, which somehow Republicans have broken apart now. Because it does help farmers. It does help low-income people eat healthy. And it's really hard for me to figure out what's wrong with that. And, yeah, there was a lot of work on the part of people like Tessa who were organizing at the farmers market to be able to offer this to low-income people who sometimes can't find a fresh fruit or vegetable within a mile of where they live
right.
because there's no supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
So it befuddles me. That's another thing that seems like a really nice combination, a win-win. People get healthy food. Local farmers who grow healthy food get somebody to buy their product, and that's gone too, or that will be gone if they really slash it.
All right, here's another point of view. Deanne wrote in to say the farm bill and food stamps should be considered two separate issues. The problem I have had with food stamps, I'm working a full-time job and a part-time job to make ends meet. We shop at Walmart and Aldi's for the best bargains. It is difficult and frustrating to see the woman ahead of us in the checkout line with a cart full of name brand items, including items I cannot afford. At the end of the checkout, they hand over food stamps while holding a Coach purse wearing more gold jewelry than I own. It is difficult. I have no problem helping the needy, those who are hungry. I have no problem helping anyone who needs it. I do have a problem with those who have figured out the system and continually abuse it.
Well, I'm sorry for Deanne, full-time and part-time. I know what that's like. I've held two jobs before to make ends meet a number of times, and I empathize with her. But, you know, first of all, no one hands over stamps. What they do is they will go, they will swipe a card. And if you shop like I do, let's say at Trader Joe's, you swipe your card, and then you have to tick off whether it's a debit card, a credit card, an employee card, or a food share card. And once you tick food share, the rest all takes place automatically, and it's not possible to tell that that person in front of you in line is using a food debit card as compared to any other debit card or credit card or any other card that anybody else would use. So that's the one thing. And secondly, my guess is they make a lot of knockoff jewelry these days. It's pretty clear from what we heard from Jim and Andy and Kim that the people who are using these are people who need it. So I'm sorry about the stereotype.
Yeah.
It would bother me if I saw that too, but I can't quite put it together.
All right, well, why don't you help break the stereotype, if you don't mind talking a little bit. I found it interesting that you, who you are now a distinguished professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison, you said there was a time when you had to work two jobs to make ends meet. When was that?
When I was a student in college and in between, especially in the summer, I'd work two jobs. I worked a bartending job at night, not because I made $20 tending bar, but because I didn't spend $20 on the other side of the bar. So it was a $40 night. My dad is a union carpenter. I'm the oldest of six kids, the first one to go to college. I paid my own way through school and everything. I was very fortunate to never need food stamps and to never need SNAP. But if I lost my job or my wife lost her job and you're in a situation where even Deanna, let's say, what if Deanne lost one of her jobs and couldn't afford to pay her rent and so forth unless she found food subsidies, then I would have used them too. That's what they're there for. They expand when times are tough. They help people from really hitting bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main people who use them. Ronald Reagan had his stereotype of the big welfare mama in line with her food stamps eating steak. Well, that was 1980. and the program has changed enormously. There's many, many more people using it who sound just like the other people who have called in than the woman who Deanna saw in Aldi or in Walmart.
More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about the food stamp program. And just to let you know what's going on, I'm sure most of you already know, but the Republicans in the House took the food stamp program. They took it out of the agriculture bill. So for the first time since 1973, the two have not been part of the same bill. So it puts the whole future of the food stamp bill in question. This is something that was routinely done. And for a variety of reasons, there are some conservative Republicans who have problems with the food stamp bill, with the people who are using food stamps, and with the amount of money that is going to the food stamp program. There are a number of Republicans who are in favor of food stamps as well. So where does this all go, and what's going to happen, most important question, to the people who rely on food stamps in order to eat in this month, in this country? And it's a huge number of people, and it has gone up since the country went into recession in 2008. It has gone up quite significantly. So food stamp usage percentage of the population is now 15.12% of the American population. More phone calls in a moment. Our guest is Timothy Smeeting, Arts and Sciences Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison, Director of the Institute for Research and Poverty. He has written extensively on poverty, economic equality, poor kids in a rich country. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 4 o'clock this afternoon, Robin Veronica will discuss America's racial divide after the George Zimmerman trial, the science behind our nostalgic feelings, and the decline in retail jobs. Back to phone calls to Marty in Douglas County next. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks so much for having this program, Kathleen. Seriously, I just have felt ever since, the Reagan administration that poor people in this country are like the forgotten Americans. And obviously they're poor people and teachers. We seem to really like to dump on both of them. Possibly because I don't know the percentage of people living in poverty who vote, but having done campaigning for various politicians since 1968, that's a long time, I don't think poor people vote in great numbers. Nonetheless, I'm a big, big believer in calling my congressional representatives. It's easy to do. It takes you about 30 seconds to give the 19-year-old intern who will answer the phone your opinion, ask a question, how did my representative vote, ask to have a response mailed to you on the subject. It might take a month or two, but I really, really, really think we need to let our representatives know how we feel. And just one more quick question. 1.1 million Wisconsinites on food stamps. What's the population of Wisconsin? I almost dropped my coffee when you gave me that number.
I was amazed, too. That's a huge number of people.
That's of 6 million people in Wisconsin. And this is the Legislative Audit Bureau downtown. They've done a fantastic job. My students work there. They're highly respected by both sides. They do program audits. They give you an honest report about what a program is and isn't doing and who gets it and doesn't get it, and you can find it on their website. And 1.1 million people in Wisconsin, and I believe it was 2011, maybe 2010, 2011, I'm almost certain, who were receiving food stamps and getting that average benefit of about $130 a month, I think, and all the rest of the stuff, too. So if you look at the facts, and that's what the Legislative Audit Bureau is about, these are the facts, you would get a better appreciation for what's going on in the program, how widespread it is, and how it's not just those poor people in Milwaukee that are getting it, that the big expansions have been in places like Rock County and Kenosha and other places that got really clobbered by the recession and are struggling, people there are struggling to keep their heads above ground.
Mm. Well, every member of Congress who voted against this bill needs to live for a month on food stamps.
Yeah, try a week. Try the $29 a week.
Yeah,
and when you buy your beans and rice, don't use any of those expensive fancy spices that you happen to have on the rack. You just got to eat the beans and rice. And, food that's prepared costs more, so you can buy all the raw stuff and spend an hour and a half yourself cooking it, too. No one I know who's tried at $29 an hour, no one, $29 a week worth of food stamps has made it. Mm-hmm. Everyone who's tried it, in every instance and every person I've talked to, has, my God, it's hard, if not impossible, to live on just this much food for a whole week. You just can't do it.
And then you think of all the people, and they're not necessarily wealthy people, but think of all of the people who go out and spend $29 for a dinner. I mean,
exactly.
There it goes, the whole thing.
Hey, there was a guy, Robert Rector at the Heritage Foundation, always complains about, you know, the fact that, you know, how low-income people have this, that, and the other thing, and I often tell them, one of his favorites is to say that they've all got DVD players. And I say, yeah, and you spent more on lunch than you can pay for a DVD player at Walmart. In other words, $25. But you're right. How many people who are listening have gone out to one dinner?
Right.
One dinner without any wine or with a glass of wine or whatever and spent $29 for that dinner. Many
people. Thank you, Marty, for the call. Karen and Lafarge. Hi, Karen.
Hi. No, I just wanted to ask your guest to comment. When I was in UW, Wisconsin, I was taking courses. The economics course I had said that the instructor said that food stamps was a good example of trickle-up economics because although poor people are the primary recipients of the program, the biggest recipients, the biggest beneficiaries of the program are middle-class wage earners who benefit from the jobs created by the food stamps, by low-income people purchasing the food, like construction workers and accountants and truckers and electricians and all of these other fields, and that really an attack on food stamps is a disguised attack on middle-class wages. And that's all I had to say.
All right. Thank you, Karen. You want to respond?
Well, I just think that it's very clear. I mean, every nickel of those food stamps gets spent. And it gets spent on food. So what it means is that people who work at the local supermarkets have more money to spend, and they'll spend it on whatever they do. And farmers will get paid more for their products, and therefore they'll produce more food. And it's almost all locally spent. No one's going to take these, you know, decide that they're going to drive to Illinois to spend, you know, $29 a week worth of SNAP. They're not going to. They're going to spend it in the local supermarket. They're going to look for bargains. They're going to spend it on local farmers, and that's more jobs there too. It's amazing. Low-income people spend money because they can't afford not to, and the only way you benefit from these cards is to spend it. So, in other words, you have to zap that card and spend that money on food.
Tom in Decorah, Iowa. Hi.
Hello, Kathleen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The problem I have with the program, it's called the Supplement Nutritional Assistance Program. And if it's going to be a nutritional program, then I think we should make it nutritional. I don't think you should be able to buy things like potato chips and soda and snack cakes on the program, which people do. I can understand that it's a kind of a cheap calorie program, but with the problem we have with obesity in this country, and obesity does affect low-income people more than it does others, and also with the health care problem we have in this country, if we're going to have a nutritional program, then let's make it nutritional, and let's help everybody out all around.
Professor Smeeney.
Well, Tom, to some extent, I can agree with you. What we could do in that program, because people's at the card, is you could make those foods that might be clearly unhealthy more costly at the same time that you make fruit and vegetables and other healthy foods less costly. So in other words, you lower the price of one and raise the price of the other. But I just don't, the mayor of New York tried to claim that you couldn't buy a large soda there, and that got thrown out. And it's, again, then you have to decide, well, what's healthy and what isn't healthy. Okay. I could agree with you about certain things, cupcakes and whatever else. Fine. Let's cut the desserts out. But other things, it's much harder to tell what's healthy and isn't. I mean, we look at what I eat myself and what my family eats, and I have that same issue. You know, it would be hard to do. I'm not sure how much gain we get for it. It would be hard to do. And maybe there's somebody out there doing some research or trying something like that. But I understand your sentiment, Tom. I understand your sentiment.
Thank you, Tom, so much for the call. We're out of time. Professor Smeeding, thank you ever so much for being with us this hour.
Thank you, Kathleen, and let's hope that food stamps somehow survives.
Timothy Smeeding, our guest, Arts and Sciences Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Director of the Institute for Research on Poverty. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and K.P. Whaley for producing this hour. Stay tuned for the next hour of the program, which may surprise you because it is about where we're finding poverty in America. And lo and behold, our thoughts about people mostly being in cities may not be entirely true. All of that's coming up next hour.